grab them. If you're online, you can get them online too. We'll mail them to you. We'll post links this week for all the online folks. So take out notes. You should have been handed a piece of paper when you got here today, some sermon notes on it. If you're online, you can grab a piece of paper out of your house there. If you want to take notes on a phone, an iPad, whatever is convenient for you, would love for you to follow along today. We don't do this every week, but sometimes it just feels good and right. So we'd love for you to take notes with us today. We had to, because of COVID-19, we had to not meet. We were restricted from meeting for 8 weeks, end of March till mid-May. So 8 Sundays, we were unable to meet in person, so we were online only. And then in the middle of May, we got back in person. So many of y'all have been with us since then. Some people have just barely come back in person. But there is still about 50% of our church that have not come back in person yet. So when you think about the impact of COVID-19 on businesses, on the economy, on nonprofits, it has been very, very big. And we have a great team of people at our church that handle the business aspects of our church and really doing an analysis on the financial stability of Promised Land and how we're doing financially. And so if you consider the fact that we were, you know, couldn't meet in person, and so we get a substantial amount of offerings and tithes that come in person, all right? So checks, cash, whatever. So to take that away for 8 weeks, and then many people not in person still, from our best analysis, we can tell that the giving that normally comes in is down about 15%. And honestly, that's a miracle that you guys have been so faithful. You've been so generous in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of so many uncertainties. So I want to thank you, first of all, for being so generous and faithful during 2020. And the fact that it's only been down 15% is a huge, huge deal. Having said that, a church our size, 15% is about $200,000. So we've had to really get creative and cut the budget and think of ways to restrict what we're doing so that when we get to the end of the year, basically the goal is to break even so that if we can cut the budget by 15%, find ways to do it, get creative with our bank and our mortgage payments and all that. And so I want to give you just a report that things are going well. The bottom line is things are going well. Things are going good. Promised Land is in a strong position. But one of the areas that have suffered and one of the areas we had to cut back on is giving to missions. And so our international partners and our local partners have had a really, really tough time because the people like our partners in Mexico and India, they don't have stimulus packages in those countries. They don't have the ability to get payroll protection plans and things like that. So their support from the United States is huge. So what I want us to do is I want us to give big at the end of this year. I want you and your family to think about a way that you can give over and above your regular giving to have an impact Sunday on December 13th, so just under a month from now, I want us to do a special offering that day and really give some generous gifts to some of our partners. So our big international partner that we're going to be supporting this year is Sunrise India, who are planting churches in northern India. They're doing just a fantastic job there. But we also have some local partners that we want to support. And one of those is our pregnancy resource center here in San Marcos called True Choice. They used to be called Central Texas Life Care. They've changed their name to True Choice, but just a phenomenal organization that are helping young moms, unplanned pregnancies, young dads, and babies. And so we love supporting them. Also, we have a couple of new partners, one called School Fuel and one called Centro Esperanza. That's the group that we helped last week. They are feeding families. They're feeding school kids here in San Marcos. So we want to help them. But also another one of our partners is Giving Hope. This is a Christian Christmas outreach event that happens every year. They're trying to make plans to even do it in 2020, where literally hundreds of people receive Christmas presents, receive bicycles, coats, a Bible. They receive the gospel message. They receive a beautiful meal, and they get connected to local churches. So Giving Hope, School Fuel, True Choice, Central Esperanza, Sunrise. We want to bless these people this year. So I want you to think about something that you can do. At Promised Land, we don't give equal gifts. Like, everybody in here is not going to give the same amount, but it would be awesome if we all sacrificed the same. Equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. So we're all going to do something. I'll do something over and above our regular giving. December 13th is the day that we'll bring it in. Of course, if you can't be here the 13th, you can bring it today, or you can bring it the next week or whenever. That's really not that big of a deal. But the 13th, Impact Sunday. Amen. How could we do that when we have nothing, right? 2020 has been such a tough year. Started this sermon series last week called Thanks for Nothing. If you ever miss a message, you can always get them online, archived. We want to enter in Thanksgiving season with the right heart, the right attitude, the right spirit of gratitude. And many people would say in 2020, I really have nothing to be thankful for. Like, nothing good has happened. I was talking to our kids about this just yesterday, and one of our kids said, yeah, this is just one of those times, and like in the Bible, when God didn't speak for 400 years between Malachi and the book of Matthew, the Old Testament and New Testament, there's a space of 400 years where there's no prophetic word. He says, feels like 2020 is kind of like that. Like, this year, we haven't heard anything profound from God. So how do we give when we have so little? How do we give when we have nothing? It's just been a tough year. In fact, this week, one of my favorite shows to watch is Jeopardy. And Alex Trebek passed away from cancer this week. And so, man, just one, seems like every time we turn around, something negative happening. So I want to say a sentence that I said last week, and it's actually the first sentence that's on your notes if you have those notes, and it's this. This is what I believe we can find in this season. I actually want to thank God for nothing. I actually want to thank God for nothing, because my nothing put my eyes back on Him. Our blessing often allows us to take our eyes off of God and put our eyes on ourselves, but it's, there's nothing like nothing, right? There's nothing like trouble to take our eyes off of ourselves and put them back on God. So 2020 has either made you bitter or better. And in Promised Land, we're hoping our family gets better. We hope that nothingness of 2020, that heaviness of 2020, that difficulty is going to put our eyes back on God. So we can actually say in the middle of nothing, thank you, God, for this place, because it's in this place that I've been connected to you more than ever. In my trouble, in my difficulty. So the key scripture last week was Psalm 103. Where Moses declares, the Lord is God. We can be thankful in nothing when we understand that the Lord is God, Jehovah is God, that we are His people, that He shepherds over us. In fact, it says that we are the sheep of His pasture. So He loves us, He takes care of us, He leads us by the still waters, He gives us great places to graze, and He protects us when the wolves come. And that's, when we have that mindset, Psalm 103, the Lord is God. That means I'm not God. That means you're not God. That means your boss is not God. That means the president's not God. None of those are God. No, Jehovah, God, you are on the throne. And so in my nothing, I I make sure that God is on the throne of my life, that I am His, that I am His, and I'm the sheep of His pasture. So I want us to go to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. Some of these verses I'm going to read will not be up on the screen, so you might have to break out an old-fashioned Bible. Go with me to 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Some of you have other ones. But I want us to look at a story of nothing. A story of nothing. And almost every character in this story has nothing and is living in a 2020 year. So I thought, man, this is the perfect story to really center ourselves on today. 1 Kings 17 and 1 says, now Elijah, y'all heard of Elijah? Yeah. This is where he's introduced into the Bible right here. 1 Kings 17, 1. Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead. When you read the original Hebrew, studied that, and this introduction of Elijah, when it says he's from Tishbe or the Tishbite or something like that in Gilead, the main thing that the author is trying to get across to us is that he is a person that is drifting. He is a non-resident alien, you could call him. He doesn't belong to this place where he is. That's not where he's from. And so he's kind of drifting along, but he clearly hears from God. So he is led by God. He's tuned into God. And he tells the king, King Ahab, who is a terrible man. He is awful. And his wife is Jezebel. She's even worse, okay? Y'all have heard of Jezebel. You know, even if you're not a Christian, you've heard of that. Jezebel is just a negative connotation. So King Ahab, this man of God goes to this ungodly king and says, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. So there's no rain, but not only is there no rain, there's no dew. There's not even humidity, okay? For several years, some say 3 years, a few years, several years, and he says, until I give the word. Now, Elijah's not on a power trip. He's not the one going, oh, I'm going to figure this out. No. He's going to hear from God, and then he's going to give the word. It's going to rain. You read the next chapter, you see that he gives that word. But for now, there's no rain. It's very, very dry. Verse 2 says, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kirith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. So it's the east side of the Jordan River, now where the country Jordan is. You're going to go over there. You're going to rest by a little brook. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. Now, the raven, I want you to get an idea of what Elijah's thinking here. Are you serious? I'm going to go live by a brook, and the birds are going to bring me food and meat and bread. Come on. That was the first Uber Eats right there. The delivery to him. Come on. You may not know this, but ravens are known as the stingiest bird of all birds. A group of turkeys is called a gang. A group of wolves is called a pack. A group of puppies is called a litter. You know, like all animals, if you group them, they have a special name. So a group of puppies is a litter. A group of eagles is called a convocation. That's pretty powerful, right? A group of ravens is called unkindness. Isn't that crazy? That's what a group of ravens, unkindness. Unkindness is going to bring you food and sustain you during your worst time. This is really cool what God does. But I want you to think about what's going through Elijah's mind. Is he thinking rationally? That's impossible. There's no way. And of all birds, a raven. No rain meant no crops. No crops meant no work. No work meant no money. No money meant no food. I mean, on and on and on. Nothing. Nothing is where they were. So in this season, Elijah listened to God, and then Elijah obeyed God. He listened and obeyed. So in the middle of nothing, this is your next line of notes there. In the middle of nothing, we continue listening to and obeying God. In the middle of nothing, the best thing you can do is stay tuned in to God, listen to God, and obey God. But God, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, if you said it, I'm going to do it. And how do we know what God is saying? It's the Word of God. He's telling us in His Word how to live, how to act. And in the middle of a 2020 year, in the middle of nothing, we continue to listen to God and to obey God. Going to live in the woods, you know, that's just not the normal thought of survival, being fed by birds. And so what's impossible to man is possible to God. It's impossible to make it on your own, but it's possible for God to do it. So Elijah had to listen to God, he had to trust God, and he had to step into that obedience if he's going to survive in nothing. If he's going to survive and thrive in nothing, he has to listen to God. He has to trust in what God's saying. And then he puts this ambiguous faith into action by actually going to the brook. So it says in verse 5, so Elijah did as the Lord told him. Elijah did what the Lord told him. And it looks like he didn't make any excuses or like any questioning. He just did it and camped beside Kereth Brook, east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening. Man, twice a day. Come on. Twice a day, the ravens brought him bread and meat, and he drank from the brook. But look, after a while, the brook dried up, and there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. It dried up because there was no rain. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Amen. So we're upgrading a little bit from a raven to a widow. Come on. Could have sent me to like a businessman or like city official or no. Amen. You're going to go to a widow, and a widow is going to feed you now. So I want you to just get in, you know, in your mind and really in your heart where Elijah was in this season. Yes, God told him very much, you know, the truth. It's not going to rain. He was obedient. He told this terrible king that. I'm sure the king didn't want to hear that, and he was scared to tell the king, but he was faithful in that. Okay, now you're going to go to the stream. And you're going to drink from the stream, and the raven's going to feed you. Okay, that's weird. I don't know about that. But he obeyed, and he went to that. Then he says, okay, this brook has dried up. And, you know, God could do anything. He could have had a spring come up, and he could have just lived there for years. Amen. But no, that's not the way God's going to do it. God's going to now move you somewhere else. And but God, come on, we had to, you know, I'm sure he was chilling under the pine trees, and you know, they're bringing him that medium rare steak and all that. I mean, it was all good there in the woods. And then now you're going to move again. And instead of moving to a place of comfort or rest or easiness, no, you're going to go to a widow, and she's going to feed you. Okay, so verse 10. So he went to Zarephath, which actually was a long journey. It wasn't just like around the bend. It was way up. Zarephath is way up in Lebanon. So it's north of Israel. So he's got to go a long way to Zarephath. As he arrives at the gates of the village, he sees a widow gathering sticks. And he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? Verse 11. And as she was going to get it, he's like, oh yeah, by the way, hang on. He called to her. Bring me a bite of bread, too. Verse 12, she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I only have a handful of flour left in the jar and a little bit of cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just going to gather a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I are going to die. How depressing is this story? I mean, it's so heavy, so tough. God is going to lead the man of God, the prophet, to a widow who has nothing. I mean, she's just literally scraping the bottom of the barrel. That's where that term comes from. Scraping the bottom of this barrel to get this flour out. And this is the place I'm supposed to go get something to eat? How can I do this? Now, the verse we read earlier says that God had told her that she was going to feed him, because he said, I've instructed a widow to feed you. So she has an instruction from God. And Elijah has an instruction from God to go to the widow to be fed. But man, on that journey, I'm sure she's like, man, we're kind of getting low, and the prophet hasn't showed up yet, and we're getting lower, and the prophet hasn't showed up yet, and getting lower and lower and lower. And finally, she's like, I don't know what we're going to do. Finally, the prophet shows up, and she's at the very, very bottom. She has no more oil, no more flour to feed the prophet. The only thing she has the ability to do is feed herself and her son, and then they're just going to wait it out and die. She's in the middle of a nothing season. In fact, it was such a nothing season, she thought it was going to be the end, right? She thought this was going to be the end. In verse 9, God says, you're going to feed Elijah. And so I'm sure it all looked good at that point. But here we are in the middle of this. And now Elijah has to make a decision. Did God really tell me to come eat from this widow? Surely God had it messed up. Surely I should have taken that wrong turn. And because I got lost over in between here and there, surely God's going to figure something else out. I mean, I'm sure as a human being, there's things going through his mind. Do I obey God or not? Do I obey God in the middle of this impossible situation? Do I take things into my own hands? Do I switch over from a life of faith to a life of reason? You know, I know God says this, but it would make more sense to do this over here. You know, this is what we struggle with as human beings, and this is what they struggle. I'm sure he was thinking through this as a human being. Do I really want to take a widow's last cake and make her do that? But you know what he said, verse 13, but Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Amen. So bold. Don't be afraid. You know what that, you know what he's saying? I believe that Jehovah is God, that we are his kids, and that we are the sheep of his pasture. Now, if we were our own kids, if we were our own sheep, if God was not on the throne and we were not serving Jehovah, then we should be scared. But he is able to say, don't be afraid, with so much boldness and so much authority, because in his heart, he believes that when God says something, it's true. You can trust what God says. I've heard from God. I'm trusting in God. And even though this looks so impossible, don't be afraid. Go ahead, gather the sticks, get the flour, get the oil, do what you just have said. Go ahead and make that cake, that last cake, but make a little bit of bread for me first. This is where this really gets crazy. Don't feed your son first or feed yourself first. Feed me first. Why? Because that's what God said. Yes. And if God said to do that, then do it. And this is what he says. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. So God's going to give us all enough. But if you'll give it to me first, you'll give it to the the prophet first, because this is what God, we got to follow what God says. If we follow what God says, look what he says right here in verse 14. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. If you will put God first before you put yourself first or your kids first or your business first, if you put God first, there will always be enough flour and olive oil left in your container. God is going to take care of you in the middle of nothing. He is Jehovah. He's God. He's sitting on the throne, and that's who he's still sitting on the throne to this day. Amen. He's still on the throne to this day. He's still orchestrating miracles for people that are in his flock. Sheep in his pasture. He's still in the miracle working business today. Some of you are facing situations in your life where you don't know how it's going to work. How's this going to happen? I want you to learn from the widow today. I want you to learn from Elijah today. I want you to learn from this little boy. Think about the life lesson he learned, and he has a rough patch. We're not going to get into what happened. He actually dies later. Little suspense there. You have to read it and figure out what happens to him later. But think about the lessons that he's learning. Think about what the widow's learning. Now the widow has a decision. She can curse Elijah. Get out of my house. How could you say that? How could you do that? But the widow has a choice to make too. She can trust in God or she can trust in herself. She makes a choice to trust in God. Verse 15. So she did, as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. Look at verse 16. There was always enough. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. She did what God said through the voice of another person. So she followed what God had told her to do originally before he got there. And then when she's starting to doubt and think about how this is going to work, God speaks through Elijah. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's going to be with you through this whole thing. And so she makes this decision in the middle of nothing, when she thinks that death is the only thing that's going to be in her path for her and her son. She knows she's not going to make it, but she makes a choice to follow what the prophet says, and she gives to him. And ultimately, what she's doing is she's giving to God first. It's really what's happening. There's an offering that's coming out of her. And so, you know, no matter what it is that you have, whatever resource it is that you have, that is, God is asking, you know, serve me, spend some time with me, sow financially into this. You have skills, you have experience, you have knowledge, you have wisdom, you have the ability to do many, many things, and you could spend it all over here, you know, building your own kingdom, doing your own thing, or you can recognize that Jehovah is your God, that he's on the throne, that he's the shepherd that's overseeing the pasture that you're in, and say, I am going to always honor what God is saying first before I feed myself, before I go. And literally, in this situation, it was literally feeding themselves. She did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough. And so this last little sentence I have there for you on your notes, it says this: in the middle of nothing, we continue to put God first. Amen. In the middle of nothing, we continue to put God first. And this is where faith and obedience come to a point. This is, you know, the saying says, where the rubber hits the road. Do you really believe in God? Do you really believe what he's saying is true? When you open up the Bible and you're reading about the promises of God and the favor of God and the blessings of God and the life that God has for us, do we really believe that the messages that we read in the Bible are actually the truth, are actually the good news of the gospel? Or do we just believe that they're fables or just kind of like, you know, encouraging just in and of themselves? Or do we believe that they're actually a message from God? I want to encourage you today, in 2020, that the God we're talking about today, the scriptures that I'm reading out of the Bible today for you, is the eternal creator of the world. He created this world. He knows every detail about it. And I want to speak to those of you that are online right now that are just watching me from your house, from your living room, kitchen, bedroom, apartment, you know, at work, wherever you are, that God is on the throne. You can trust whatever he's telling you to do. So many times in my life, I have been put to the ultimate test. Do you believe what I'm telling you? And, you know, I'm sure as you look at me up here, you know, as a pastor of a church, you say, well, you know, you've had it easy. You know, everything's, God's always one step ahead, three steps ahead, and all that kind of stuff. And so that means that you're never at the brink of not knowing what was going to happen. I'm just here to tell you, we're all human. We all get to this place where our faith is put to the test. And there is no substitute for you stepping out and obeying God in the middle of that season. You can hear a message from me. You can read Max Lucado's books. You can hear from your grandma, a spouse. You know, we can teach you things and encourage you things and put things into your head and into your heart about this, but there's nothing like you really cutting your own teeth on the faith and trust and obedience of a relationship with God. So my hope today is that there's just a little gentle nudge. If you're questioning or you're trying to figure out what your next step is, I want to encourage you that walking with God is going to pay off. God is always going to give you what you need. You'll never be lacking or need. It may get up to the last second, to the last month. Things may change. You may have to move. You may have to do different things, just like he did. He went from town to town and place to place and faced some really, really difficult situations. But you can always know that if you are following the path that God is leading you on, he's never, ever, ever going to fail you. And some of you may be struggling to know what that path is. How do I know what God is calling me to do? How do I know what he's leading me to do? And, you know, that's the beauty of a church family. We're here to help one another. If you're in a difficult time, you need to talk to other people. Come talk to me. Let's pray about it together. Let's seek it out. Let's go to scripture. If you feel like you're in a state of flux, you're not sure what to do, you need other believers that are walking along this path beside you to speak into your life and to either confirm what you feel like God's telling you or to say, you know what, I think you're going the wrong path. We need each other for that. So would you stand with me? I want us to pray together as I close out this message. And the band's going to come and lead us in another song. It's going to be very, very appropriate to this message. He's a way maker. But before we get into that, I want us to talk to God. Would you bow your heads with me right now? If you are not in a relationship with God, like you don't really know him, if you haven't ever surrendered to him, you know, or started a relationship, and you would like that, today is the day for that. The good news of Jesus Christ is that he has done everything necessary for you to be in good standing with God. Jesus already did it. And so if you would like to have a relationship with this God who's the provider of everything, you don't have to go out and figure it out and come back. Instead, if you put your faith in Jesus and what he has already done, the good news is that you're going to be in his family. You're going to be in his family when you say yes to Jesus and no to yourself. So would you bow your heads? I'm going to lead us through a prayer, and I encourage everybody here to pray it. Maybe you've prayed it a million times, or maybe this is the first time you've ever prayed it. Would you just join with me? It's a prayer of surrender. We're going to say, Heavenly Father, I surrender to you right now. I give you my life. Please forgive me of my sin. I want to walk with you from this day forward. I trust in you, Jesus. I believe in you as my Savior. I don't understand all this, but I'm eager to start. And I give you my heart today. I need your help. Please heal me. Please help me. Please fill me with your Spirit. For everybody in here right now that's going through a tough situation, maybe you're like Elijah, maybe you're like the widow, maybe you're like the son, maybe you're struggling to see how's this gonna work. I'm gonna pray right now with you that you're gonna have the courage to obey God and put him first. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray with my brothers and sisters that are on the edge. They don't know how this is going to work. They don't know how this is going to make it. And we have a choice between obeying you or serving ourselves. And God, what I pray is that we'll all have the courage to step out in faith and serve you, God, and to give to you and to put you first in everything that we have, Lord, our money, our time, our talent, our treasure. God, putting you first, and then trusting, God, that you're going to do so much with that obedience. You're going to turn it into a miracle, I pray, that doesn't just affect us, but everybody around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, everybody say, in Jesus' name.